read Hebrews 11. Last week we shared with you from verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. And we used the subject on last week, leaders are made and not born. And we carried you through the decision of the mother as well as the father, making a decision for young baby Moses, and how God providentially brought him to the king's palace through his daughter, and he became the son of, the adopted son of the daughter of Pharaoh, brought right up in the household of Pharaoh. But providentially, God allowed him to be weaned some 7 or 8 years by his own mother, which shows you how God can turn a negative situation into a very positive one if we only allow him to do what he does best. And so this morning, I want to begin at verse number 24, because here Moses is making a decision. Verse 23, his parents made a decision for him. Verse 24, he makes a personal decision. The Bible says, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. I want to use for a subject based on our reading, the crossroad of crucial decisions. The crossroad of crucial decisions. We are constantly making decisions every day, but there are some that are very crucial, because the way in which our lives are lived after the decision really was based on that, the timing of the decision that was made. So I use the word crucial, very important decisions. When you look at Moses, Moses is approximately 40 years old. Actually, the author of the Acts of the Apostles in Acts 7 and verse number 23 tells us that Moses was 40 years of age. So when the Bible says when he became of age, you have to associate 40 years of age when he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Our lesson will go based on what happened in verse number 24, he refused. 25, choosing. And in 26, esteeming. Refused, choosing, and esteeming. Now, what did Moses refuse? He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But there is more to this in saying that he just refused to be called her son. The Bible helps us to understand that Moses was reared in the wisdom of the Egyptians. Acts 7, verse number 22. Not only was he reared in the wisdom of the Egyptians, but the Bible says that he was mighty in word and in deed. Here is a young man who has gone through puberty and gone through the early stages of adulthood. Now at the seasoned point of his life, at the age of 40, he has to make a crucial decision. Now, the reason I say crossroad is because here is a man who has the opportunity to make a decision to remain in Pharaoh's court. If he remains in Pharaoh's court as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, then he can have the pleasures of Egypt. He can have the ease and even the authority that comes in such an elevated position. Now, Moses traditionally is said to have been a mighty warrior. He was a good administrator. He was one that had received a lot of respect among the Egyptians, and the Egyptians were praising him for his great ability. Now, Moses could have made the decision to stay in that environment and to be rich and to be prosperous and to take in all of the amenities that came with being an Egyptian. But the Bible says that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, which means that he turned his back on. He refused all of those things that were at his disposal, at his very fingertips. He could have had it all, but he chose that I will rather suffer affliction with the people of God. So not only did he refuse, but he was choosing. Now, I made the point this morning that it's one thing to refuse. We always refuse certain things. You bring me okra, I'm going to refuse it. I don't want okra. I don't like okra. I don't care if you fry it, if you boil it, if you put it in black-eyed peas. I don't want okra. I will refuse it every time. Now, when you talk about refusing something, usually we refuse it simply because we don't like it. But here is the difference. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter because of what he chose. Now, if what you choose causes you to have to refuse something, then this is what is to be commendable, because what you have done, you are putting something or choosing something that is better, something that you prefer more than that which you have opportunity to gain. So if I refuse okra in order to get some bluebell ice cream, it's because, well, I used that. I wanted you to see if you were with me. But if I chose that for something that I felt was more enjoyable, then that would be something that was good, but was it good for me? Now, that's the case. Moses had to make a choice. When you talk about refusing, always look at choosing in the process as well. Choosing is the positive side of refusing, while refusing is the negative side of the choice. We must understand that God wants us to make a choice for him, and when we make the choice for him, then that means we have to refuse something else. Now, when I consider this, I think in terms of examples. I want you to look with me at the first example, which is Daniel. Daniel was one who refused, but he chose. He chose, therefore he refused. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's delicacies." Now, when he made that decision to refuse the delicacies of the king's portions, he was making a choice for God and his relationship to God. That's why he refused it, is because of his choice for God. Nor did he want the wine which the king drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, watch this, verse 9. Now, God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. So here is a man, young man, probably around the same age as Moses. making a decision in Babylonian captivity that I'm not going to defile myself with the delicacies and all of the portions of meats that are restricted by God, that are outlawed by God. I will not eat of those meats and those delicacies. But in making that decision, watch what God did. God turned around and brought the one who was over the eunuchs and over Daniel, brought him in favor with Daniel. That's why when you and I make a decision for God and make the decision by faith, that God will intervene in the situation. That's, you and I need to understand that this is how God rewards us. That I refuse certain things because I have made a choice for God Almighty. Now, I want to share with you another example, which is found in Joshua 24 and 15. I want you to put that on the screen if you don't mind. Joshua 24 and verse number 15. I want you to see the idea of choosing and refusing, or refusing and choosing. Joshua 24 and verse number 15. This is Joshua. Watch his choice and that which he refuses. And if it seem evil to you, this is Joshua speaking to the people. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But watch this, watch him. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Don't leave. He made a choice to serve the Lord. But in choosing to serve the Lord, he had to refuse the gods of the Amorites. He had to refuse the gods that the father served on the other side of the flood. Whenever you make a crucial decision, you make that decision knowing that when you make it, you have to refuse other things that are at your disposal. Now, when you think in terms of that one, I want to give you another. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3, and I want to begin at verse number 2. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 2. And I want you to see this one, because it's a matter of always refusing and choosing, or choosing and refusing. Beware of dogs. This is Paul speaking to the Philippian brethren. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Watch him. Verse number 3. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Here is a man who makes a statement. He says, I have no confidence in the flesh. Verse number 4. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, he said, I'm more. Here is one who's making a decision. Watch verse number 5. He says, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, touching the law, I'm a Pharisee. Watch verse 6. He says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, I'm blameless. He says, I have all of these wonderful attributes, all of these wonderful accomplishments under the law of Moses. I know if anybody can brag, I can brag. I have all of this credentials that I can present to anybody, and they are above anyone else's. But watch verse number 7. Watch what he did. He refused those things in verse 6. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Watch what he says. He says, go back to verse number 7. Watch it. He said, I want Christ. So therefore, I must refuse to put my faith and my confidence in my own accomplishments under the law. He said, I count those things lost for Christ. When a man makes a decision and he chooses God, chooses the Lord, there are certain things that you got to refuse. You cannot choose God without refusing certain things as Moses did. Watch verse number 8. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung or rubbish, that I may win Christ. Now, when you look at this, and you go back and you look at the life of Moses, Moses refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he was making a decision to refuse that in order that he might be with God's people. That's the idea of choosing and refusing. But notice now, he wanted to be with God's people. In verse number 26, I'm going to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 26, where the Bible says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. So why did he refuse? And why did he choose? Why did he refuse Egypt? But he chose suffering, affliction with God's people. It's because he was esteeming, which means that you have to, in order to make a choice, you have to put and consider and to examine and to test and to make sure that whatever it is that you are making a decision on, that you have thought it through and made a good decision based on what is best. Now, his esteeming, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Now, that's very hard to imagine, that he had the ability to see that when, if I chose Egypt, it was only pleasure for a season. But if I choose the affliction and I choose the suffering of God's people, that this is what will give me greater reward. Now, if that had been us, and we knew that we had riches and we had opportunities and success, and then you're going to turn that down to go and become a Christian and become a child of God, which means that I'm going to have to refuse those pleasures and accept suffering. Many people would not make that decision. They would say, I don't believe that that's the way God intended for me to live. Now, when I look at Moses esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, I want you to see that the reproach of Christ is a technical term that he is using for anybody who suffers for religion. If you make a decision for God religiously, that means that suffering is going to be associated with that decision. There's no way for you to ever make a decision for God separate, outside of suffering. It's going to happen. That's why Jesus would say in John 16, verse number 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me, put that on the screen, John 16, 33. Watch him now. He said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me, John 16, 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me ye might have what? Peace. But in the world ye shall have what? Tribulation. But be of what? Good cheer. I have what? Overcome the world. Now I want you to notice now. He says, in me you'll have peace. But while you're in the world, having made choice for me, you're going to have tribulation. But I don't need you to get all uptight. Have a good attitude about it. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now I want to look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 13.
First Peter chapter 4 and verse number 13. And I want you to see this passage of scripture, because it's all about esteeming, having a good evaluation of what you're doing when you make this choice. In First Peter 4 and verse number 13, all right? But let First Peter chapter 4 and verse number 13, but rejoice in as much as ye are what? Watch this now. Partakers of whose suffering? Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with what? Exceeding joy. When will the joy come? The joy will come, after his glory shall be what? Revealed. But while you are making a decision for Christ, you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Anytime a man makes a decision for the Lord, you got to understand that you are going to be a partaker of his suffering. You're going to be a person who has reproaches brought upon you because you are a Christian. But they are the same reproaches that came upon Christ. Now, I want you to look with me at Luke 9, verse number 23. Luke 9 and verse number 23. I'm almost through. But Luke 9 and verse number 23, I want you to watch this passage of scripture. Luke 9, verse number 23. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself. Now, if you're going to come after me, you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to deny the world, and you're going to have to deny the pleasures of the world and take up his cross. Last time I heard anything about a cross. A cross meant suffering. A cross meant persecution. A cross meant death. He said, take up your cross, how? Daily, and follow me. When Moses made a decision for God, Moses knew that I'm going to have to suffer with the people of God. He knew that he was going to have reproaches placed upon him. But because of his esteeming the riches of Christ, the riches of God, the riches of God's people being far more exceedingly great than the riches of Egypt, he was willing to go on into that suffering and allow himself to become involved in the very life of his people. Now, that's a crucial decision. Now, the average person wouldn't be able to make that kind of decision. But may I suggest to you that there are some that I think are very crucial. I believe that marriage is a crucial decision. And when you marry somebody, you better make sure that you esteem, that you put in place of trying to put a value on the person that you are about to marry. Now, marriage is so important because if you mess it up, amen, it's going to affect you in so many different ways. Now, what I like about it is that you're going to have to make a decision. Are you going to make a decision based on looks? Now, looks, ladies and gentlemen, are those things that are like Egypt. They are pleasurable, but they're only pleasurable for a little while. Because if you just notice life, I'm not talking about in your life, but I'm talking about life, period, that nothing stays the same. Now, you can make a decision based on beauty, but beauty is fleeting. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Now, when I got married, I got to be honest. I'm going to be honest as I possibly can. I was attracted because my wife looked good. Amen. I mean, she was a good-looking girl. I mean, I'm just being honest. And here's the good thing about it is that there were some crucial decisions that were made before I ever met her. And one of them was that my parents decided that I would have to go to a Christian college and that I had to go to Southwestern Christian College. Now, they made that decision. I went along with it because I couldn't pay for my own education. And so
when they made that decision, that was a crucial decision. It was crucial because it impacted the rest of my life. Now, having made that decision, then I turned over, I came over here, and I met this little girl called Jeanette. The beautiful thing was, is that at 18, I was caught up in the way she looked. Uh-huh. And so it wasn't about, hear me well, it was not about Christianity. It was not about serving King Jesus. Amen. I'm just going to be honest. I'm being honest. I mean, the girl had it going on. Amen. And so me with my ugly self, and she showed a little interest in me. Man, woo, I said, hey, praise the Lord. But watch this. Don't miss me. Her parents made a crucial decision for her. She grew up in a Christian home, just like I grew up in a Christian home. Her parents wanted her to go to a Christian school, just like my parents wanted her to go to a Christian school. Are you with me? And so we both ended up at the same place. And God, in his providence, allowed me to choose somebody who was a Christian, who was already brought up in the Lord. Am I right about it? And now, young people, I'm just trying to tell you now, when you make decisions, I'm trying to tell you, they're crucial decisions. You got to make a decision for a mate that will allow you, amen, to thrive and not just survive. Amen. Now, all I'm saying, I know. Now, marriage is so crucial that you better make careful that there are some things you ought to refuse. Now, I'm telling you what you ought to refuse are the tattoos. No. Because that's the judgment. And I believe that everybody who has tattoos and earrings and wear the pants down, they're some good people. All right? I'm about to get bad like somebody else I know. Now watch this. Amen. I don't want to do that. But here's the point. You better make a judgment. You better do some esteeming. And you better talk to them, because some of them who even look good, amen, who don't have all that, you ought to talk to them and find out if they have God in their life. If they don't have God in their life, I'm taking, leave them alone. Amen. And go on over here and find somebody godly. Now, if you've already made a choice, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to those who are about to make a choice or who are going to make a choice. Amen. Doesn't look like y'all praying with me now. But that's all right. Now, I'm going to tell you another crucial decision. Another crucial decision is when you choose a vocation. When you get ready, listen, Moses was 40 years old when he made a decision for his life. And I'm saying that every person, by the time you get 40, you ought to have your theology together. You ought to know what you want in life. You ought to know where you're going in life. You show me somebody at the age of 40 and they don't know where they're going, don't have it. Amen. I know I'm going through this all by myself. Amen, that's all right. But I'm talking about crucial decisions. Have you ever heard the saying, rootage is fruitage? All right, here's what that means. You take a tree that bears fruit and you keep uprooting it, moving it. Eventually, it's not going to bear fruit because you can't. The roots will not go deep enough. You show me a person. I'm talking about crucial decision now. You show me a person who's always looking for another opportunity and another opportunity. Sometime in life, you got to get somewhere and let your roots get deep. Now, let me show you what that'll do.
Because as you, oh Lord, Hammer, this is Gibbs theology. This is not in the Bible. This is just Gibbs theology. You can take it or leave it. But I'm talking about crucial decisions. Now y'all real quiet on me. Young people, let me tell you something. When you get somewhere, let me use an illustration. You can go into a school system. Hear me well. And it doesn't pay well. You can go into a profession in the medical field, and it may not pay well. And you say, well, I got to find somewhere where I can get better pay. It's not always about better pay. Sometimes it's about being able to stay somewhere and suffer. I know. I can look at you and tell. All right, Brother Gibbs, you moving in some territory. But all I'm simply saying is that if you're always moving from one to this one and jumping from here and jumping from there, when will you ever get some roots? Amen. Amen. This I know. Now, I'm just telling you what I'm telling you about my experience. When you go someplace and you stay there for a while, say you stay in a neighborhood for a while. You've been there 20, 30 years. Everybody knows you. But if you go in there 6 months here and then over here somewhere else 6 months, they're going to say, I don't know them. Folk know your children. Folk know.
Amen.
Somebody can speak for you. If you stay on a job long enough,
amen.
You may not get promoted like you want to, and you may not get the money, but I'm telling you, the longer you stay on that, it pays off. Somebody said, well, I don't have to go through that. Sometimes you gotta go on and get in the ditch.
Amen.
Go on and get in the mud and just stay there.
Amen.
Suffer the afflictions of the people. Stability means a whole lot. Moses, at the age of 40, made some crucial decisions. He chose, and I'm not going with Egypt. Because I know Egypt's not going to last that long. I'm going where I know the people of God are in the wisdom and in the plan of Almighty God. Well, I know, y'all looking at me strange and cross-eyed, upside down. But I'm just going to tell you this. Young people, listen to me. You know, Moses had to make a decision. Now, he could have made the decision. He could have said, well, you know, I think I'll choose Egypt. But if he had chosen Egypt, and he had some rationale for it, because Joseph was there, am I right? Joseph was part of the administration of Egypt. And because of Joseph could help the people. He brought the people and brought them to Goshen. He nourished them and fed them in Goshen. Let me show you something. Here's the beautiful part of it, is that this young man knew that because Joseph did what Joseph did, that I can't go the route that Joseph went, because he understood that God had a plan. And he knew that in the fourth generation, God was going to take the folk out of Egypt and take them to the land of Canaan. So he had to make a decision. Am I going to stay in Egypt, or am I going with the people of God to the land of Canaan? And then he thought about Joseph. Joseph told him when he died, he said, I want you to take my bones with you. When you leave, take my bones with you. Don't leave my bones in Egypt.
That's good preaching.
All I'm trying to show you is that this boy was wise. I'm turning my back on Egypt in order that I might suffer with the people of God. And let me tell you something. We've gotten to the point that we don't want to suffer. And we want everything easy. We want everything right at our disposal. But it doesn't come that way. The things of God come through suffering and affliction. A good marriage goes through suffering and affliction. It does. If I'd known we were going to have all this suffering and affliction when I was looking at her, I'd have said, go on, girl. And if she had really known about me, she'd have said, I ain't fooling with them. You thought you had you something, then you find out what you really got. But here's my point. Through suffering, through affliction, the want to serve God Almighty, we've come through our trial, come through our situation, and God has made us stronger now than we ever been. It doesn't come unless a tornado comes through sometime. I know I need to quit. I know I need to quit. Huh? But God is a good God. Well, man, I feel like I messed this sermon up, but you say I did all right? You say I did all right. Okay, well, good. That's good. That's good. Right there. Huh? Right on point. Right on point, right? All right, thank you so much. But you know, I'm going to tell you, I'm talking about crucial decisions. I gave you two. One is your mate. You better be careful about what mate you choose. Sometimes you can do bad by yourself. And also it's cheaper to keep her. I know my wife is looking at me crazy. She says, will you hush and go and sit down? All right, but anyway. Hang in there. Go on and get in the mud. You know, church work, I think about the church that you choose is another crucial decision. Anybody can choose a church where you're jumping and shouting and it's all about praise and having a good time. But you don't want a church unless they're preaching the truth of God's word. I got to look through those shouts and all that praise. And if I don't see it anchored on the word of God, I believe in praising. I believe in shouting. But I gotta shout off. When I shout, I want to know what I'm shouting about. So many people just make decisions emotionally. I don't feel. He asked you to feel nothing when you came into worship. I just don't feel. Hey, where all this feeling come from? As though worship is about you.
Amen.
Question is, how does God feel about this thing? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Heaven, you got to make a decision on the basis of the truth. And I'm going to tell you something about it. When you make a charge for the Church of Christ, I know. When you make a decision for the Church of Christ, and you tell folk that that's the only church in the Bible, you better be ready for suffering. You're going to have to bear the reproach of Christ. Question I want to know is, which one is going to lead from earth to glory?
Amen.
I can go to the airport. I'm closing now. I can go to the airport and I can see all kinds of airplanes going from here and there and all kinds of gates. But if I'm on my way to Hawaii, I don't want to say any plane would do. I want to make sure I get to the gate where there has a plane and a schedule that's going to fly from DFW all the way to Hawaii. Am I right about it? I would make sure I'd go and read the schedule. I'd make sure that I'm at the right gate. Make sure that I got the ticket. Make sure that I'm on time. I make sure that I got everything in order. And when they say, time to board, I'm going to get on that plane. And I'm going to land in Hawaii. Thanks be to God. Am I right about it? Same way with the church. I don't want to just get in the church. I want to know which church is bound for glory, which church is bound for heaven. Am I right about it? And I'm going to get my ticket. I'm going to pack my bag. I'm going to get in that church. And I don't care what kind of storm we go through, I'm going to land on the celestial shores of heaven. Am I right about it? A church that wears his name, a church that's built on his doctrine, not built on some man-made doctrine.
Amen.
May God bless us. I gave you three crucial decisions. There's many more. Marriage, vocation, and church. Most time if you get those three right, make good decisions there, you can go through life a lot better. Oh, I hope I have not made you an enemy. I hope I have said something that will help some. And the good thing about it is that when we make mistakes and we don't do it right, God can still fix it. And that's the good thing about a God. But you got to get on track. You got to get in his wheel. And I understand that. We all make mistakes. But the thing about it is, and we don't make good decisions, but when you know better, do better. Mm-hmm. And then anchor yourself where God wants you to be. And then God will make all things work together for you good, because that's just the kind of God. He's a forgiving God. He's a problem fixer. He builds bridges, and he does everything he can to build us up and not tear us down. Jesus came because we could not do it for ourselves. So I'm asking you to come to this kind of Jesus. Give your life to him. Make a decision for him, and he will safely carry you and navigate you through life. And he will see to it that when life ends, you will be able to go home with him, live with him in his Father's house, in his Father's kingdom, in his Father's city, which is the heavenly city. I pray that you want that decision. Make that decision. Will you come? You come by hearing Christ, believing him with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, confessing him to be the Son of God, buried with him in the water grave of baptism. You cannot get into Christ without being baptized into Christ. The water's ready, the clothes are available. Why don't you just come on, give your life to him, acknowledge that you believe in him. Will you do that? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And are you washed, oh, in the blood, oh, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?